It feels like Christmas time as we're burning the Roadhouse down with Steve Warner on the Music Universe podcast.
I couldn't have asked for a better conversation than Steve Warner today. This was so much fun. I think I said at the end there, it felt like we were just sitting around a back porch sharing stories. It was a really, really fun conversation. It flew by. Flew by like nothing.
Yes, because we usually, you know, have to keep an eye on the time just to make sure, you know, we respect their time. And there were a few questions that we, you know, were hoping to get in, but he was so cool. He's down for a part two at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be really cool.
Yes.
But we got to chat with him because he's got a new Christmas album called Feels Like Christmas Time out October 15th. And it features newly imagined arrangements of some Christmas classics, you know, Silent Night, First Noel, and others, plus six original holiday tunes that he wrote himself. And I don't want to, you know, divulge any details yet because he's going to explain more. Mm-hmm. But fans had a chance to get on Talk Shop Live for a special Warner Wednesday last month where he answered questions, played music, talked about the album. And they could pick up a limited edition white vinyl copy with a signed poster and a bundle that includes the a playable vinyl postcard and ornament and a shirt as well. So not sure if they're still available, but very cool and a neat collectible. Plus, Steve is one of the nicest guys ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that it was. He was just so cool. Immediately put us at ease. It was just like talking with a friend we knew for years. And we find out. I find we say that a lot when we interview these country stars. Is they're just so affable, and so much fun. And you asked him, buddy, at the end of the interview, who he wanted to work with that he hasn't, because he's like one of the major collaborators in the business. He's worked or written for near about anybody.
Right.
And his answer, which you got to stay tuned to the end of the interview to hear, will surprise a lot of you. It surprised me, but it actually kind of makes sense in a lot of ways when he explained it. So Here now, we're gonna go to the interview. We're going to plop you in the middle of the conversation. We asked him, he got on the line, we asked him how he was doing, and he told us he had just come off the road. So we begin the interview talking a little bit about going back on the road after, of course, having 2020 off. Here's our interview with Steve Warner.
I'm a little bit road weary, but I'm okay. Not bad for an old guy that just got off the road here for yesterday. So, but I'm pretty good.
Let's talk about that. You just talked about being road weary. Where'd you just get back from?
I got in yesterday. We've been gone for about 4 days. I've been in Texas. We started out in way down in South Texas, played San Antonio second day. And then yesterday we played just north of Houston, the Woodlands, and just drove home. So I've noticed that the older I get, it's gotten a little different. I can't understand that. It's a little different than it used to be as I get older. It takes me longer to get over it, you know.
Did you miss it this last year being off with COVID and everything? I bet you were itching to get back out on the road.
Man, I'm going to tell you, two years of no shows. Actually, I did four shows in 2020, and they were all here, my home court here. I played the Grand Ole Opry four shows. That's all I did in 2020. And they were two of those. The first two were totally to an empty building. All were televised, and the first two were 4,400 empty seats, not one person in the building except just players on stage and a camera crew and a floor director. And it was the weirdest thing I've ever done probably in my life. But it was, you know, it's the Opry, and you just keep plowing away. And the Opry, the circle will never be broken, so we keep going. And then the last two I did at the Opry, the of the four shows in 2020, the last two were a third of the house. They started letting people in for the last two. One I did with my buddy Clint Black, we did, and it was about 800 people, I think, or something like that. But it was weird, you know, but it was. And then the first show I did was back, a month ago or so, was the first show back in 2 years. I played in Durant, Oklahoma, to a packed house, and it was just incredible. And I told people, I go, oh my God, real live human beings in seats. I can't believe this, you know. And it was great. That's what you miss is the people that they give and take, you know. And that's, you know, it reminds you that that's what you do this for. You do it for that feedback, you know, and that love that they give you. And I know that's cliche and all that, but it's really true that what they give you, the audience, is you feed off that, and the energy, there's energy going on there, you know. And it's just, you just can't do without it, you know.
Yeah. And when you played those shows at the Opry crowdless, and you didn't have that energy, and it felt weird, how did you get through it, just knowing that people were at home watching and that you were getting to do what you love?
I think that's exactly right. That's exactly, you just kind of, you know, I'm not a good actor, you know, at all, but you just have to try to be somewhat of an actor and know, like you say, you know that, well, they're at home, but I know they're going to be seeing this at home, and they're streaming or watching it, however they're watching it. But and then also it goes through your mind, oh my gosh, if this will be repeated and I'll be seeing this, you know, down the road, it'll be on, you know, on whatever, the Circle Network, however they show these things, they'll be, you know, I better do good, do well, because it's going to be repeated about 1,000 times, you know. So, and archived, nowadays you do that, oh my God, it's archived for real, so I better, I'm really enjoying this, you know.
No, I love it.
That's what you do. You just kind of, you know, make sure, I just make sure that I'm, you know, in my case, I just go, well, I'm just try to dot the I's and cross the T's and do my job and try to have fun. I leaned on the band too. I'd have fun with them, and you know, they got me through it too. The players that were backing me up, my players and stuff. So, you know, you just kind of keep on going.
Sure. Now, before we get to your most recent Christmas album, I want to go all the way back to the beginning with you, Steve, because I've loved you as a picker for a long while. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a guitar?
You know, I do, actually. And I think I had to be, in my mind, I was about 9 years old, nine or so. I remember my dad, actually it would be a bass. My dad had a little Dan Electro bass, my dad had a regular job, but he had a band and would play out, and he would, the band would practice at our house when I was a little kid. I was enamored, and man, they were bringing in equipment and setting up these amplifiers, and I just loved it. And my dad was in charge, you know, if you will, and was the band leader and the lead singer, and was a really good musician. My dad was, I was just in awe, you know, because, and I remember after that, I remember I would pick up the bass, and my dad would show me a few little things, and then he had a guitar too. I'd try to mess with that some, but you know, you go, oh, this is, I'll stay with this. It's got two less strings than that one, so I'll stay with this one. but my dad was a real patient guy, and he's really was a good teacher. He actually did teach music later, you know, private lessons and stuff later as he got a little older. But he was real great teaching us kids. I had three brothers and a sister, and all the boys played. My sister never did. She sang a little bit in church, but all the boys played, and my dad was real patient with all of us. So I was really young. I just fell in love with it. And it wasn't too long before I was playing out with my dad and his band. It's kind of funny and silly in a way, but I would go in the other room while they were practicing and play along with them through the wall. And I was rehearsing too. They just didn't know it, you know? And that wasn't too long that I was playing out with my dad, so that was cool as a little kid, you know.
Yeah, and they say once you play one stringed instrument, you can pretty much play them all. Is there one that you felt like you haven't mastered yet?
Oh gosh, all of them. I'm not have a master, but I'd like to do it. And I play most string things. You know, I do. I can, you know, with music theory and a little bit of, you know what I mean. You can. It kind of transfers, mm-hmm. I think. But I don't. I never did play a violin very well. My dad was an old Kentucky fiddler. You know, he knew all those old songs. And as a kid, I would hear him playing fiddle and my dad could pick up a harmonica and play it. And I'd be like, how do you do that? He could really play, you know, everything. I can play most string things, but a fiddle, I can screech around on it, but I'm not great at it. I wouldn't play in front of you guys, I'll tell you that much. But you know, most stuff I can figure out something and work it up, you know, but I've got a lot of weird instruments up in my studio. I can tell you that. I've got like a big harp up there and an upright bass. And I've got all kinds of weird stuff, but,
wow.
And that's fun to mess with it. It really is. I love steel guitar. I think I'm a closeted steel guitar freak, you know, way back, you know, early days, I fell in love with the steel. My dad used to play steel a little bit and had some lap steels and steel guitars laying around. So I've always been enamored with that.
Wow. Well, it's going to translate for sure on this Feels Like Christmas Time album. It's out October 15th. What inspired you to release a Christmas album, especially during, I guess, the second year of a pandemic?
Well, that's a great question. I came out of, I've been wanting to do some more Christmas stuff for a while. And every year, seems like I get up in the studio and I start kind of messing around with Christmas songs just because it's the season. And a couple of years ago, I was up there messing around with All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth. I don't know what got me into that song, but I started playing around with it, and I was putting down a track, and I played piano on it, and I played everything. I played bass, and I was just doing it for fun. I never have released it, or no one's ever heard it, but me and my family, my boys, they laugh at me for that stuff, silly stuff I do. And I did all these background vocals and was listening back to Nat King Cole's record, kind of referencing it, you know. And then nothing. I do these things and never do anything with it. And I played it for my son Ross this year. I played him a couple things, and he goes, "You should do a whole album." And, you know, with the pandemic, you know, you can't bring players. But he said, "You should do it. You know, play everything and bring in a few players if you can or whatever." But I did some on this album. I did that. I did just that. I stayed in the mode after Christmas. I thought, you know, I think I might go for it this year. It might be good timing. Heck, I wasn't doing a whole lot anyway. What was I doing? You know, not touring. That's one thing I wasn't doing, you know, but so I just kind of, after Christmas, I just left my plastic Santas and stuff up in my studio. I left everything kind of up, decorations, and never put anything away. And I just started January. I just dove right in after New Year's. I just dove in and started cutting. And I'd written a few things. I wrote a song with Bill Anderson a few years ago that I just love. And I recut a couple things that I did a long time ago and recut some things and just some of my favorite stuff through the years. I wrote a new song with Jim Moose Brown, called It Won't Be Christmas, that I just love, and no one ever heard it. It never was released, so we did that. And then I'd cut half of it, about half is some of my favorite standard stuff. So I just dove in and I did and started cutting stuff, and I did use a few outside players, but I sent tracks out. I don't like to do that. I don't do that very often, but I did send some, you know, sent out some tracks, and they sent me back the stems, and I did it that way. I don't like it doing. I love doing stuff face to face in real time and real life, you know. But so you got to do what you got to do when it's 2020. So
right.
And I just loved it. It was so fun. I love this. Always love Christmas music and holiday music. It's so great. And then I wrote a couple pieces on the fly while we were making the record too. I wrote that there's an instrumental thing I did. We had a big snowstorm and I was just kind of locked in playing guitar, so I wrote this cool little piece and called Tennessee Snowfall. And so it was kind of a little classical piece, you know, that I put on there. I always got to put a guitar piece on everything, I guess. So my son was here from New York. He lives in New York City, so he was here. And so I recruited him and abused him and had him help me an engineer. And he works up in studios and stuff in New York all the time. So he's a composer and producer. So I was like, okay, you're working. You don't know it, but you're working on this album with me. So, and so he helped me and we had fun. I'd gotten some new gear for Christmas too. So we were like two little kids, you know, so.
Oh yeah.
Gotta and then my oldest.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, that was cool. And then my oldest son who lives here in East Nashville, he's a genius. And if I may brag and say that myself about my own kid, but he really is with gear and guitars and tone and all that. So we recruited him to come in and help us with some of that stuff. You know, I wanted to hear his take on what do you think we should do? You know, he consulted basically on a lot of stuff. So it was fun. He's a great player himself, but he's a rock guy. I didn't need a lot of rock guitar on my Christmas album, but he sure knows tone, you know, and stuff. So, anyway, it worked out great. It was kind of a family affair there a bit. So,
yeah. No, I love that. You know, and that just adds to the whole Christmas vibe, right? Doing something with your family. Really, really cool.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And that's what it's supposed to be. And you know, everybody was together here, you know, and we were up out there having fun, laughing and playing with new gear. And it was just great. I mean, it's just exactly what it's supposed to be, you know. A modern Norman Rockwell painting out there going on, you know, so it's pretty cool.
The project is available on a limited edition white vinyl. What are you hoping fans get from this album?
I just hope that it makes them feel good this year. You know, it's so crazy the last couple of years. It's just, you know, if it brings a smile or makes people have fun and it's something, this album, I think, is something, too, that you can put on in the background, this music. You can put it, it's great. Hey, we're trimming the tree. We'll put this on in the background. It's nothing other than just feel-good, background-y kind of Christmas stuff. It's all in that same laid-back mode. It's easygoing. It's just nice laying in the background, you know, and that's what it's for. And I wrote a couple things that did not make the album that were like stuck out kind of like sore thumbs. It was like, didn't fit this album. I wanted this album to all stay on the same even keel, you know? And so I got a couple goofy Santa Claus elf songs and some weird little funny things that this, I go, maybe in the next album, they're a little crazy for this one. But I want people to feel good with this record. You know, I want them to this is just a feel good family album right here. Bringing back memories from your childhood. You know, my childhood, I was raised in a little town in Indiana. When I was there, it was just a little farm town, you know, small town. It's not now, it's just northern side of Indianapolis now. But I remember walking down the, specifically, you know, you could walk downtown at Christmas time, and on the square, the courthouse would play music coming out of the bell tower up there. You could hear, and they would, I remember many times walking on the square and hearing all these great classic Christmas songs. And that's kind of what this album reminds me of. And, you know, just hearing these songs, they would play, you know, Silver Bells and all these old songs. And that just makes, hearing these songs now and actually doing some of these songs takes me right back to those days, my childhood. Up on the square, they had a little Santa house where you could go in. Santa was in there. And, you know, it was just great, great memories of childhood, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I'm right there with you. I love Christmas about as much as anybody, and music that takes you back to those simple times is fantastic.
First time, that's exactly right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the Thanksgiving parade parade, Santa would be there, you know, bringing in the season, and yeah, it's great. And then up there, Indiana, you know, I don't know how it is these days, but boy, I remember just being brutally cold winters, but we all loved it. Us boys, you know, we'd get out and snow fights and build snowmen and all that stuff. And it was so fun. I was born on Christmas too, so it's always been a special for me. So, what a present, man, for my mom and dad. Oh my gosh.
What are you looking forward to in the new year? What's coming up for you? More tours, maybe more recorded music. What are you looking forward to in 22 as we now head into the last 3 months of the year, if you can believe it?
I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? I don't know. That is a wonderful question. I know we're wrapping up this tour in December. I think December 13th, we wind up this tour, and I know a few things I'm going to do next year. I've been painting a lot. It's non-musical answer here, but I've been painting a lot. I'm going to be doing an art show in spring, so I'm getting a bunch of pieces ready for the show, and I don't really know where yet or any details much, but I've been just loving during the lockdown. I've just really gone crazy painting. So I've always done that since I was a kid. It's been actually, there's some artwork in my album. There's a little sleeve inside there. There's a piece of art, like a little winter thing. It's Christmas thing. It's inside the album on the back of the credits. By the way, I've not done an album, a vinyl record, and this is white vinyl, but I've not done a vinyl album in probably 35 years, probably. So that's kind of exciting.
Hey, it's coming back. It's coming back, baby,
I'll tell you.
Well, I was going to ask if this was available on CD as well.
At this point, I don't think so. Not a physical CD. I think only just digital or the vinyl, you know, but
cool.
You were talking about 22, you know, we've had an offer to, we got an offer to do a Europe tour too. They're kind of talking about it. I think it's in the talking stages, but I know Oslo, Norway is in the mix, and probably England. And, so I don't know, but that might happen in the middle of 2022, but so I don't know much about touring. I'm not sure. I know I'll be doing the Grand Ole Opry I don't know, this crazy world, I'm just kind of taking it as it comes and see where we all land here, you know, what's going on next year. So
exactly.
Anyway.
Well, before we let you go, we each have a final question. Buddy will go second. I want to ask mine first because this was my first introduction to you, was the Coast to Coast to Coast Live Garth Brooks special. I'd known you were the duet on Double Live for a Long Neck Bottle. But my first time seeing you play and just seeing your fingers fly was on that special from South Padre Island. And
I
know the weather was so horrible. I am just curious what you remember, any behind-the-scenes stories about that day, because I know they almost called the show and canceled it, sent everybody home, but Garth decided to go on in the rain. What do you remember from that show?
Matt, I can tell you that's one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had, and unbelievable. You can't even convey to people. I was with Garth the night before. We were on the USS Enterprise up in Norfolk, and I didn't play. I was just with Garth. I just went up because I was going to fly with him from there to Padre, and I was playing in Padre on the TV show, but I was just hanging with those guys with Garth up in Norfolk, and Jewel, I remember Jewel was on that show performing, and it was really cool. My uncle was a Navy officer, so it was real cool. I think he was actually on that ship, and so it was cool. And then so I didn't even bring a lot of clothes. I knew I was going to fly with Garth down to Padre, and then I had a couple of Hawaiian shirts and some summertime. It's South Padre Island. Come on, you know. And so we fly down. I get off, and it's beautiful. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I love it down here. This is going to be great tonight. Well, as the day kept coming up, you know, another couple hours, it started looking weird. The weather started getting cloudy, looking weird. And I go, oh my gosh, this weather's rolling in. And well, next, as you know, next thing you know, they're going like, oh, it's like a hurricane weather, you know, that just came out of nowhere. And then as it got closer to the show, it was just terrible. And then close to the show, closer to the show, people, you could, you know, how Garth, you know, Garth, there's people, thousands of people lining up, getting ready for the show. And it's poor. They're all with umbrellas and raincoats. And it's like, I can't believe these people out in the rain like this. And I remember sitting with, excuse me, I remember sitting with Garth. I was sitting beside him on his bus having a meeting, and 45 minutes or whatever before the show's supposed to start. Now there's people, they're jammed packed in there. They're not going anywhere. And it's just a monsoon. And
wow.
I'm thinking, is this going to happen? And they got helicopters supposed to are coming down filming. And it's an ordeal, you know, obviously a CBS television special. And I'm sitting on the bus with Garth, and there are with the TV executives of TV people that are there, CBS. And they're saying, what are we doing? You guys, blah, blah, blah. And I remember Garth making the comment going like, let's do it. You know, let's these people are out there waiting. They've come, you know, blah, blah, blah. Let's do this thing. And so it was a go. And I remember, oh my gosh, they're filming a TV special in this weather. And it's going to happen. And I remember I just did, Jerry Jeff Walker was on the show. And I remember Garth got us up to play. And I remember my part, I just did a couple things. But I remember I looked back and Jimmy Mattingly turned his fiddle upside down once and just poured water out of it.
And I remember going,
oh my God. I mean, Garth was totally soaked. When I got up on stage with him and did Long Neck, and then he said, no, do Holes in Floor of Heaven. I remember I went over and hugged him, and I was lucky that I was only doing, you know, I was only doing a few songs out there, but he had been out there already for an hour probably. And I hugged him, and he was just like a towel that you just wring and water just come out of. He was just so, and he was laughing, and I mean, he was having a blast, but it was cold. It was not only was wet, but really cold. And I remember I couldn't even feel my hands when I played. And then to top it off, then we got on Garth's plane and flew home through it on the way back home. So I remember landing in Nashville way up in the morning, and it was like you couldn't even see the runway. It was so much rain. And, you know, it was one of those white knuckle flights for Steve Warner, for sure, you know.
I love it.
My Padre story, man.
That's incredible.
He's something else. He's unbelievable, man. I could write a book on that guy. He's unbelievable.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
We've seen him several times and never a dull moment at one of his shows.
Yeah, he's never be another one like that guy, man. I tell you, I've been with him in so many situations. It's crazy, you know. So good. A dear friend.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that book hopefully someday. I wanted to wrap with you've worked with a slew of artists. Is there anybody or a group of people that you have not yet worked with but would love to?
I always have dreamed, it's out of the country realm, but I've always dreamed through the years, I always thought it never happened, and I'm sure it probably won't, but I always thought if I could ever, you know, work or do something with Paul McCartney would be a lifetime thrill. You know, that's somebody that I've admired for so long. Everybody has. The only Beatle I've been around is Ringo a little bit, but Paul was, you know, being a writer and stuff and an old bass player myself. I mean, just, I always thought if there was ever an occasion to work with that guy, I'd be, what a thrill, Sir Paul, you know, and I've always just really admired him. That was my first blush when you asked that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Steve Warner, what an amazing conversation. This just felt like sitting around the back porch just sharing stories. Thank you, sir. Please come back when the art show happens next year. This was a thrill. Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Well, Matt, my pleasure, buddy. Thank you guys for having, you know, taking the time. And yeah, this is like we need to do part two of this at some point. I'd love it. Anytime. I'm in.
When I asked him about that collaboration, and then he said, you know, it's outside of country, my mind instantly went to Metallica. I was waiting for him to say that. Well, because they have that new Blacklist out with a variety of acts, including several country stars. But they kind of had some orchestration and stuff in their music mm-hmm. over the years, and have been collaborating with people in different realms of music over the years. So for some reason, my mind just went to Metallica. I did not think Paul McCartney, but that is still a very cool answer.
It was so cool. My mind went to, and this is where my mind went before you said, my mind went to the Eagles. Mm, because okay. I thought he was going to say, because both he and Vince Gill are stellar guitar players yes. and multi-instrumentalists, and I thought he was going to say, I want Vince's gig. You know?
That is quite so, the gig to want there yeah. and to have. So, but yeah, no, it couldn't have been a better interview with him.
No, it was so much fun.
Love that he told us all these stories. And you were telling me that when you asked him about, you know, the South Padre Island show at Garth, you mm-hmm. anticipated just a kind of a quick answer, and he went into extreme detail. And I love
as
that.
We heard. Yeah.
I love when they do that, because it's really the behind the scenes stuff that helps make that show even more special now. Those who have seen right. it or haven't and want to go back and watch it, hopefully Garth will pull mm-hmm. it out of the vault someday, but it'll be a neat thing to relive now that we know the story behind that show almost not happening on a
right.
bigger detail than what we had heard originally.
Right. And you heard he did one of his own songs probably during a commercial break or after the sort of television set, you know, he performed the rest of a regular concert.
Right.
You know, he, you know, there were hits that he would do on one special that he didn't do on another. So it wasn't terribly repetitive that, you know, the audience wants to hear. So he probably did, you know, another 90 minutes or another hour after you get off the air. I didn't know, I was telling you, I didn't realize it was that soakingly wet, because there's a thing in filmmaking where if you really want a downpour, you have to film double the amount of water that you're portraying on the screen because of how the camera picks up water. So if anybody right. has that tape, Skywise, I'm talking to you. there's an old reference.
There you go.
For our PG people. If you go back and look, it might be tape degradation. It might be whatever. It doesn't look like it's raining that terrible on the film, but he said that Garth was like a wet towel and Jimmy's fiddle was soaked. I'm like, I never realized they went on in that bad of weather. So, you know, right. it was really cool to learn that.
Steve couldn't have been a nicer guy and gave us a lot of insight. And as you heard, he's sure. hoping for an art show in the spring and a European tour as well. So he's down with coming back. We'd love to have him back and talk more about music overall and his art and just pick his brain a little more, because he's fantastic.
He's so cool. All right. Well, for the Music Universe podcast, I'm Matt.
And I'm Buddy. Thanks for listening. And keep checking out themusicuniverse.com for the latest news and release info. And also hit that subscribe button. TMUpod.com is where you can find it. And check us out on socials at The Music Uni.